Good afternoon. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. It's your host, Jeff Steger. We're back, and it's episode number 65. And today we're going to talk a little bit about a group called Killeen Farms. And our guests are here, and we're looking forward to that show. So as per usual, we'll play a few songs to start with, and we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Subi Proud. This is my song, Can't Unpave the Parking Lot, on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. Gravel on County Road 9, in the heart of fields and fresh air. Thought I left my worries behind, till I saw it standing there. Larger than life development sign, cast a shadow on the autumn corn. Farm at the finish line, another subdivision's born. We can't pave the parking lot, paradise can't be an afterthought. Pay too high a price for what we buy. Behind brings me back to my senses, overwhelmed by this moment of truth. We bulldozed, stripped, and left it defenseless. We're turning trees into white picket fences. There's gotta be more we can do. We can't pay. Just can't be an afterthought. Pay too high a price for what we buy. Take better care what we got. Can't pay the parking lot. Got home, turned on the CBC. There was a victory staring back at me. Thousands of people showed up, cause they care. A piece of heaven had been spared. We can pave the parking lot, paradise can't be an afterthought. They do I a price for what we buy. Better care what we got. Take better care what we got. Can I pave the parking lot? Rubber meets gravel on County Road 9, in the heart of the fields and fresh
air. Hi there. I'm Mark Schwerer from Region Waterloo Public Health, and you're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Region Federation of Agriculture.
This is Mark Reeser. You are listening to CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Federation represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Mobilizing the youth of today, educating them in a better way, training so they won't go astray. Hear what me say, yeah. Keep your head to clearer thinking, loyal heart, got to be persevering. To the larger service, make your hands willing, your help for better living.
4-H,
for community and country.
4-H,
respond to food security.
4-H,
I gotta make the best better. Let us get together.
All right, folks, thanks for listening in. It's the Agriculture Show, and your host, Jeff Steger, and today I have guests, and delighted to have guests, and first of all, I just want to say hello to, Russ. Hi, Russ.
Good afternoon.
All right, and you're busy with a group called Clean Farms, and we're going to talk about that today, and you live close by, and I guess you hit every red light on the way in.
I did.
And this morning, you know, this is a first in our what we're doing here today because, you know, you just started this program this week, right? There's a one weekly long thing called the Clean Farms, 2 weeks. And so the first, you were at the, one of the first depots this morning, and we'll look forward to that story. So, so Russ, first of all, oh yeah, did you bring us some music? Did we get some music?
I did not.
You did not. Okay.
I'm pretty much good with anything.
Well, as our listeners know, what happens is I used to like to ask my guests if they have some music they'd like to play, and we'd like to play their songs because it's real fun to know what kind of music our guests like. So that's okay. We'll dig some out of the archives here in the next break and see if we can find something that's good. Just to like have track, first of all, this week, Russ lives close by in Guelph, and he's at the first depot this morning. But tell our listeners, Russ, what is it that you're doing at Clean Farms? And go right ahead and tell us, to our urban listeners, what's happening.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, basically, Clean Farms is an industry stewardship organization that works on behalf of the pesticide, agricultural pesticide manufacturers and distributors, and works with local farmers to ensure that any obsolete pesticides that they have no longer a need for, whether it's a deregistered product, a product that they've switched crops or have changed cropping practices, we ensure that they have an opportunity to dispose of those pesticides in a responsible manner.
This is a good thing. That's with today's society, we want to make sure we clean up what's left over, and pesticide containers shouldn't go back into the regular waste stream. This is a good news story.
Absolutely, and you know, from my standpoint, and I think it's something I'm very proud of in the organization I work for, in the sense of, you know, farmers are the original environmental stewards, and as long as there's programs out there for them to take part in to do the right thing, we see an incredible amount of support for these type of programs. If you have an opportunity to do the right thing, they'll do it, and that's why we see these programs being so successful over the course of time.
Now, for anybody listening in, you can go to your website, which I'm going to do offhand, is www.cleanfarms.ca. Is that right? Okay, are you guys doing Twitter and all that neat stuff too?
We do a lot of social media and all sorts of good stuff around that.
Oh, good. So that's if anybody listening in right now on the FM band, please, you're welcome to go to that website and find out some more about our topic today. And so today, you mentioned it's a two-week program, and this is collecting. Oh yeah, what's new this year is you're collecting animal health products.
Yeah, that's a pretty exciting addition to our programs. And from a pesticide standpoint, we first started this program in 1998. So we've had a lot of success over the course of time in Ontario, and obviously this is a national program, but in Ontario in particular, we've run collection programs in 2000, 2005, 2009, mm-hmm. and now in the fall of 2013, where we pick up all sorts of unwanted agricultural pesticides. But the interesting thing from an agricultural input supplier standpoint is the livestock medication and industry had kind of seen what we were doing from a pesticide standpoint and is quite mm-hmm. interested in enhancing their product stewardship. So in 2009, we did a very small pilot program where we collected some animal health medications, and now in 2013, that aspect of the industry, and to their credit, stepped up to the plate, and now in addition to pesticides, we also pick up and safely dispose of livestock medications, okay. such as pills, pastes, vaccines, all that type of stuff. And, you know, from that standpoint, prior to these type of programs, in some cases quite difficult for farmers to safely dispose of these products. So I think it's an absolute win-win from everybody throughout the industry.
That's good news. And so this is an evolution of a program that's been in Ontario for some time, with the addition of a one-stop location for both animal health products and pesticides. Previously, I know in my own experience on the farm, I would take expired animal health products back to my veterinarian, and there was a pickup at the local farm supply for the jugs. So this is, it's a time of year is a bit funny. Guys are pretty busy, but you got to pick a time, don't you?
You know, it's over the course of time. The timing, we always try to hit it right in the fall time. You know, obviously, yeah, guys are out combining beans and starting into corn probably in the next couple of weeks. But what we find over the course of time is when we do it in the winter, we usually run into weather challenges. Yeah. In the spring, everybody's busy planting. In the summer, people go on vacation and,
yeah, there's
and,
no right
and what
time.
Have you. So we typically, we find the fall, and one of the things we try to do is communicate it several months prior so that farmers have the opportunity. And I think the one thing that from this standpoint is they see great value in it, and they will go out of the way. And as you can probably appreciate, often it's the farm wives or the mm-hmm. hired men or the sons yeah. and daughters that actually are the ones loading up the pickup truck and coming in to see it at our collection locations. But yeah. You know, regardless of who brings the product in, I think the important piece is that they are bringing it in, and they are if they no longer have a use for it, you know, we'll get rid of it and safely destroy it.
Okay, that's good news. Well, listen, let's play a song here, and I'm going to go try to, well, in that break, we'll see if we can find some of the other songs that you like. Oh, actually, you know, I think this computer's not working here. Let's play a song or two, and we'll be back with our show here. It's my guest today is Russ Hurst, and he's from Clean Farms Ontario, and we're talking about collecting up unused pesticides, and the jugs are in, and animal health care products. This is CKMS Radio, 1.3 Sound of Family Agriculture Show. We'll be right back.
This is Joel Johnson from BASF Canada. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm there was a chick, prettiest chick I know. With a little curve here and a little curve there, this chick, she had curves everywhere. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And oh, this chick, she had a walk, E-I-E-I-O. And how this walk would drive him wild, swinging to and fro. With a little wiggle here and a little wiggle there, man, this chick had moves to spare. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. When she went walking into town, E-I-E-I-O. The local gentry popped their eyes, carnation, what a show. With a gulp dang here and a gosh darn there, heavens to Betsy, I do declare. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. There was a barn dance Saturday night, E-I-E-I-O. And the fellas came from miles around just to see her do-si-do. With a promenade here and a promenade there, at a square dance, man, this chick's no square. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. I used to be a traveling man, E-I-O. Until I hit MacDonald's place, things were mighty slow. With a little chick here and a little chick there, I didn't have a real chick anywhere. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. This farmer's daughter knocked me out, E-I-E-I-O. I asked MacDonald for her hand, and happy holler go. With a little curve here and a little wiggle there, a gob dang here and a gosh darn there, a do-si-do here and a promenade there. I got my own private county fair. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-O-I-O.
MacDonald had a farm, E-I-O-I. That's right, MacDonald, it's all or nothing, baby.
Yeehaw! Gord Grant here, and you're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Sound FM 100.3 on your dial, or maybe channel 946 on your Rogers digital cable, or perhaps streaming live from www.soundfm.ca.
Okay, we're back. It's the Agriculture Show, and today my guest is Russ Hurst, and he is from cleanfarms.ca, and we're talking a little bit about today's first day of the pesticide and animal health products collection drive, and I forgot to ask in the first part to Russ. So you're from Guelph. Tell us, you're a farm kid by chance.
I am. I grew up on a farm just north of Teeswater, Ontario.
Good part of the world.
Part of that, my childhood, I am very familiar with the slave labor that goes on in any family farm. We had a cow-calf and mixed cash crop operation,
yeah.
which I actually have to say, I'm still involved in that.
That's my second question, if you're still involved or maybe a family still.
I am, yep. Okay. I'm the only son, so I'm the succession planning.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Well, they did a good job. Well, that's good to hear. So, the good news is you're well aware of some of the issues around collecting and disposing of products that are no longer the top technology or just expired sort of stuff like that. How was the turnout this morning at Woodrill Farms? Was the first stop today?
Yeah, well, today's our first day. Basically, we're doing the collection program over the next 2 weeks. We have 31 ag retail collection points across the province. We cover the entire province all the way from Windsor. We've got collection points up in northern Ontario and some of the emerging agricultural pockets up there, all the way to the Ottawa Valley. And one of the nice things is we partner with ag retailers because mm-hmm. they're the ones actively selling those products into the marketplace, and that's been a really good partnership for our standpoint, working with all of them. And you know, they're the ones that are active in their communities. And I was out at the collection point first thing this morning at Woodrill Farms in Guelph, and brisk business this morning. It was quite positive, and typically what we find is this is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving weekend, but we had three guys waiting there for us when we got there this morning at 8:30.
Yeah, it sort of puts my quip last segment about tough time of year, but the turnout this morning just proves, in fact, that if guys have stuff, they'll get it out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we figure we'll probably have, quite typically per collection site, depending on the area, we'll have approximately 30 growers mm-hmm. Come to each one, depending on the area, and we try to keep them about 50 kilometers apart as the crow flies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that makes sense. And so you go on the website to check, and I did before I came on out for today's show, but basically every day for the next 2 weeks there's at least four or five locations that's open somewhere in the province.
Yeah, we have four per day, and we typically try to do is stagger them so that if a particular grower, for whatever reason, misses one mm-hmm. that day, they can quite typically drive up the road a little farther and participate in the one. It might be a little bit farther to go, but it certainly gives them the opportunity to get rid of any product that they don't want.
Mm-hmm. You're probably getting a wide variety of materials. So obviously past expiry date, but there's also probably products that are no longer even manufactured. What's the oldest product you get in there?
Oh, Jeff, depending on the area, we get some products that quite regularly was manufactured and sold in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically speaking, we probably get over 50% of the product is in excess of 25 to 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Quite typically, we receive product that's still in metal pails from the 70s, early 80s, 1960s, and typically we get product in that generally speaking, is certainly no longer usable. That said, us particular farmers do switch crops or transition out of farming for whatever reason. And we do have a good portion of the people that participate in our collection programs are not farmers anymore. They've either sold their properties or their sons and daughters have taken over the farming business. Mm-hmm. And they look in their sheds and they find product that they've purchased quite some time ago, and there's really no need, no useful need for it. So they participate in the program as well.
So the good news here is that those products, they should have been disposed of a long time ago, but finally now it's getting done. The consumers can rest assured, our urban listeners, that day-to-day details of farming in Ontario, this is one of the important ones. This is a chance to get your stuff out, clean out your shed, and safely, and dispose of in a proper way. So, just curious, where does all the stuff go afterwards? It doesn't. Yeah. It must be a very specialized business.
It's a very specialized business. So basically, the process is a particular farmer would put the chemicals or animal medication that they no longer have a use for in the back of their truck. They visit one of our collection depots. We pack it in leak-proof containers. We use a hazardous waste hauler, mm-hmm. Certified by the provincial government, and we send everything for high temperature incineration. In this particular case, it's going to a world-class facility in Alberta. Everything gets shipped into Western Canada to a high-temperature incineration facility, and ultimately over the course of time, we find that with these type of products, it's best to incinerate them. That's a nice closed-loop disposal option, and why we use that particular facility in Alberta is it gets to such a high burn rate. Some of the products that come in, specifically the older chemicals, have some somewhat difficult to deconstruct organic compounds,
and
we need a high enough burn rate to ensure that those products become inert. So that's basically why we incinerate it versus landfilling it and those type of options.
Oh, yeah, that's what people can appreciate. It's pretty specialized to properly. Like, I know they have household garbage pickup days for our urban listeners. And I suspect that's a very specialized disposal process as well. It's we're talking about old paints and everyone knows around their house they got stuff that was half full and shouldn't go down the drain.
Yes.
So they would probably use almost the same facility. I know it's out of your
in a lot of cases, depending on what those household hazardous waste products are, whether they're paints, solvents, bleaches, those type of things, they're managed in a very similar manner.
Similar manner, yeah. And I think we sort of kind of covered the framework this is working under. So we're talking about a national effort administered by provinces and building on previous attempts to recycle products. So just tell our listeners that this is the year 2013, and what's the process now? This was a federal initiative. This was Clean Farms on the website is Saskatchewan-based, Alberta?
Ontario? Yeah, Clean Farms is a national organization. We have our head office in Ontario, in Toronto. And Clean Farms essentially has two mandates or programs, if you will. The program we're obviously speaking about today is the obsolete chemical and animal health medication disposal program. We run it in each province every 3 years to give growers and users of the product a predictable model. The other program we do is an empty pesticide container recycling program, and that's an annual program where when the growers empty their pesticide containers in preparation for their field spraying activities, we ensure that those containers are recycled. So in a lot of cases, we work with the retail chain as well and ensure that all those containers are washed, rinsed, triple rinsed, and we use the plastic for various end use initiatives across the country. Depending on the area, it's a little bit different.
I can remember our local federation that sponsored this show, we were approached by a local person that said, we'd take that bale wrap, and that's converted into the decking for a back porch deck. And so, fine use for a product that otherwise... with pesticide jugs, it's the same. There are some things you can and can't use it for, but it's disposed of and or recycled.
Yeah, and the key piece from our standpoint is we make sure that it's all washed, and you know, obviously it does has in the past contained pesticides. So we want to make sure that that recycled plastic is used in uses that are low contact, that type of thing. So we're quite cautious around where those containers are being used. That said, everything, you know, we make sure that it's a very closed-loop system in terms of the recycling business.
So. I mean, it's quite a novelty. One time you could buy a fence post that was made of recycled jugs. It's quite colorful with all the different pigments in it, but that was thought to be a good use for those old plastics from jugs. I don't know if they still do that or not.
Yeah, we had initially, when the program first started, we did do fence posts. Now, generally, we use them for more specific kind of end use targets. And if you think, a big blob of plastic going out, and what we typically like to use now is a little more refined end uses. One example is we do underbodies for car wheel wells or curb bumps and that type of thing.
So I think let's play a little song here. I was able to round up the Johnny Cash, and this song's Ring of Fire, which I've heard for a long time. You like Johnny Cash. Tell our listeners, who hasn't heard of him? What's your story on Johnny Cash, and why do you like him?
I'm just a big fan of classic country music, and when you think of classic country music, you think of Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Growing up on a farm, my parents are big country music fans, and that's what I grew up with. So I always have a soft spot in my heart when I hear a Johnny Cash song.
All right, well, let's play that, and we'll be back with our guest. It's Russ Hurst. This is episode number 65 on October the 15th of 2013, and we're talking about recycling and reusing, disposing of used pesticides and animal health products. We will be right back.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher, and it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet, when the hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, and it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
Hi, this is Russell Hurst from Clean Farms. You're listening to The Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. the WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Thanks, Russ, for doing that. That's great. I like to have my guests, they come back for, you know, years later, I can still listen to my guests when I play these promos. You probably noticed them on the show so
That's
far.
That's good.
I need a new writer, Becca. I like that particular one, but we should have a better one than that sometime.
It's good.
Maybe we can get some other people to put together a little snippet for us, or who knows. So we've been talking a little bit about today is the first day of the Ontario-wide collection of used pesticides or containers and beyond expiry date animal health products and the like. So as you said, Russ, the first good turnout the first day. Where are you off to tomorrow with the program?
We're off to four locations across the province, Jeff. As far north as Stayner, down in Park Hill, over towards Lake Huron,
yep.
Down in the Leamington area, as well as New Hamburg area.
Hmm. And actually, you have somebody else today after we're done our broadcast here. Then you're off to Hixson, I guess, right?
I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so we have them all across the province.
Mm-hmm. So, folks, if you're listening in today, I think the FM broadcast is working if you live inside the confines of Kitchener-Waterloo. Apparently, our router is down for being on the air today, but we'll be podcasting this show tonight. So if you listen in, you'll be able to still listen to our show. So go to the website, www.cleanfarms.ca. Have I done that proper justice?
You did. That's
okay.
Perfect.
So did you? Is it every year or every 3 years you want to do this?
Jeff, we do this program every 3 years, and a couple reasons why. When we're in the hazardous waste business, mm-hmm. it's not a cheap endeavor to undertake these type of programs.
Yeah.
You know, typically, we'll probably collect in the area of 60,000-70,000 kilos of obsolete pesticide and animal health medications.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what we try to do is. It's an opportunity for growers and users of the product to get rid of it. And what we find is about every 3 years, when we talk to a lot of the farm associations, the Federation of Agriculture being one of the several, they find that every 3 years is a good predictable model for disposing of these products.
Now, you mentioned the cost of doing it, and I can imagine not only would you have to secure facilities, but you have to ship this stuff. This must be funded by several organizations. Who's looking after this initiative?
Yeah, the funding model is a little bit different in each province. But as an example, in Ontario, it's essentially three funding groups that make this project happen, if you will. The first is we do receive some government co-funding in this in Ontario from the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food, and then we have the second part is the industry funding component, the actual. Registrants and manufacturers of the product, and in this case, Clean Farms members are the manufacturers of agricultural chemicals. And the third component, and this is really important from my standpoint, is the animal health sector that's becoming more engaged in these type of programs, and that's the members of the Canadian Animal Health Institute, which essentially are the companies in the Canadian marketplace that manufacture these medications, and they also fund a significant portion of this type of endeavor. For your listeners, interest. You know, we find that this is a true extended producer responsibility component, and how the pesticide portion is funded is every container that's sold into the Canadian marketplace. Approximately 6 cents from the sale of that product goes to fund these type of stewardship programs. So it's ultimately the manufacturers of these products that take ownership and take responsibility to ensure that the products that they ship into the marketplace that are used by the farmers have a responsible manner of disposal that is easy for farmers to participate in and is essentially it's a cost-free model for farmers. It doesn't cost a farmer anything to participate in these programs. They're entirely free.
Yeah, you know, and that's a good point because, boy, you sure can get more support from people if you think about how the system works as far as convenience and cost and so on. And you know, just this building on people's first intent that they want to do the right thing, but maybe frustrated because, you know, wow, that's just too far away, or it's going to cost me a fortune to do this. Why do I want to do it? So it must be a big part of the program is to figure out how to make this that actually works.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I look at it, it's really three components to run a successful program. The first is growers need to know about it. So we do a lot of communication endeavors, and, mm-hmm. and as you noted, growers want to do the right thing.
Exactly.
Farmers,
yep.
it's their land, it's where they raise their families. They want to be good environmental stewards, and given the opportunity, they will. The second component is to ensure that it's not a financial burden on them. And that's why we run free programs, so that if a particular grower wants to participate, it's free participation. And the third one is to ensure that the program's accessible. And that's why we have a really strong partnership with a whole host of the ag retailers. And we have a shotgun approach to setting up collection points, so that no particular grower would have to drive more than 50 kilometers in any one direction to participate. And what we find in talking to the farm associations is that generally is a reasonable distance for most people to travel.
Yeah,
approximately
that makes
half
sense.
An hour.
Yep, that makes sense. Yep.
Yeah, so that's kind of the three components of what we think kind of makes a good stewardship program.
Well, I seem to hit the numbers right on. I'm glad to hear they had a good turnout this morning. Guess what? I found some more Johnny Cash. We're just going to play Johnny Cash. I've walked the line. I haven't heard that one for a long time
that's
either.
That's great.
Okay, folks. We'll be right back in a moment. I'm going to play some more Johnny Cash. And my guest today is Russ Hurst. And in studio with me is Joanne and Norm as well. It's nice to have you aboard, folks. So we will be back shortly with some more interview time with our guest today, Russ Hurst. We'll be right back.
History lesson, young folks. 1955. We started out with just the two musicians, the bass, the guitar. Tonight it's Dave Rowe and Bob Wooten. W.S. Holland's going to join us a little later. I like the sound of a snare drum, so I didn't have a snare drum. So I put the paper in the strings and got my own. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Hi, I'm Rob Leone, the MPP for Cambridge and North Dumfries. You're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Okay, so there we go. Johnny Cash, another great song, Walk the Line. I can't remember when I first heard that song. That was quite a... I've just been using YouTube here at the station, folks. I don't have that in my own personal collection, but it's just fun to see. Like, they have a video with this, right? So there's a very young Johnny Cash.
It would be, Walk the Line.
So we're just about in our last segment here. Russ, I think we pretty well covered a lot of stuff. Anything you want to add to it? You're glad to see anybody come out. You have depots relatively close to each other. You can't make it. Any other come to mind? Our urban listeners must be glad that this is getting done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, from my standpoint, I want to focus on thanking those people that participate in the program, and that's the farmers, and the farmers are the ones that go out of their way, and it's a busy harvest season, but I think the important thing from my standpoint is that they take part in these type of programs. They show they're good stewards of the land. They look after the land that they have a responsibility for, and that they they call their home. Mm-hmm. So from my standpoint, I think although from an industry standpoint, we provide the foundation and the framework for these type of programs. It's ultimately that the program participants are the ones that should be credited for doing the right thing. So I think, that standpoint makes me very excited about the type of programs that we have within Clean Farms and that we're doing the right thing from an environmental stewardship and sustainability standpoint. So
well, it's a good point. Now, there's something local here in the Waterloo region is because of budget restraints, the municipalities here are this year not doing the household hazardous waste pickup. So, programs, who knows what future budgets are, but you certainly would hope that this program exists for some time in the future. Boy, it's a tough question to ask you, but at this point, it's been around for like 10 or 15 years. I can't imagine they'd stop the program.
No, and I think, speaking on behalf of Clean Farms members, who are the manufacturers and distributors of these technologies, this is part of what their ethic is in supporting the business model that exists in the Canadian marketplace.
Well, that's a good point. Like, it seems to be evolving where the manufacturers are now taking some responsibility for their product from beginning to end like that. That's a good move, I think.
Absolutely. And what you see is a lot more government regulation coming down this path. And I think one of the nice things in the agriculture industry has been that industry's really stood up and linked arms throughout the value chain, from the users of the product to the transportation folks, to the retailers, to the ones that actually formulate the products. And this is an industry-led program. It's an industry-funded program, and I think that's a really important successful component. Is it's not relying on, obviously, in some cases we do receive government funding, and because obviously the governments and in particular provinces see great value in what we're doing, but ultimately this is an industry-funded program, and I think that's why it makes it sustainable long-term. Moving forward, is our commitment on behalf of Clean Farms is to continue to deliver these type of programs to ensure that we are meeting farmers' needs for safe disposal of these type of products. And I think looking to the future, obviously from an animal health standpoint, we've added that component. But moving forward, I see a point in time where if there's other products that fit the scope of the type of programs that we deliver, it would be a great opportunity on behalf of the industry to add those type of disposal mechanisms moving forward to ensure that the growers have opportunities to safely dispose of whatever inputs they may be using in their farming operations.
Yeah, I can't think of much else on the farm. I mean, not really. They always use pesticides and some animal health if you're a farmer. I don't know what other industry-specific parts of farming could use a program like this. Boy, even the agriculture pesticides, like what the difference between a fruit belt and here, for instance, is a whole whack of different compounds and things.
Yeah, I'll give you some food for thought from my standpoint.
Yes,
and this
please.
Is the type of things that we're looking towards in the future. And I'm not sure we probably have time to talk about this today, but possibly in the future, Jeff, we're looking at grain bags, silage wrap. There's other programs out there, but we look at it from a national standpoint. Seed bags, corn, soybeans, small grains, those type of things. And right now, there really isn't a lot of stewardship opportunities out there for those type of products. So I see moving forward at Clean Farms as an organization, we'll probably get more into that paper-based waste used at the input sector, plastic-based
waste. Right, there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's cardboard and all kinds of stuff that could be, right.
Yeah, so, you know, ultimately, if you give growers an opportunity to dispose of something in a responsible manner, generally they'll participate. The real key piece is, from our standpoint, is ensuring that there's a sustainable funding model, which, you know, we think we have a pretty good one if it's industry based, because there's a financial commitment there, and secondly is working throughout the value chain to ensure that what we're doing is well supported and people know about these type of programs, and if they know about them, they'll participate.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying for promotion in the countryside, if you include a burger dinner with it, then it'll all come out, but yeah. I don't know. I think over time, most operators either become aware of the program through the press, or else they do, on occasion, decide to clean out an old pile of junk in the corner and decide, well, that's why we do the right thing with this stuff.
Absolutely, and, you know, it's often, you know, we get a lot of phone calls from particular farmers or their kids of farmers that maybe grandpa had kept something 20 or 30 years ago. You know, so we get a lot of inquiries. I'd encourage people, if you'd like to know more about Clean Farms, visit our website, www.cleanfarms.ca. You know, we run a lot more programs than just the obsolete pesticide and livestock medication program. We do a lot of pilot projects and other waste streams. We focus exclusively in the agricultural sector, but, you know, from that standpoint, there's a lot of opportunities as well as, you know, areas where we see a great deal of expansion in terms of farm level stewardship. And I think moving forward, you know, we've got two major programs, obviously the obsolete collection programs and the recycling programs, but I think as time moves on, these programs evolve, we add different waste streams into those, and ultimately ensure that you know, the agriculture industry as a whole is doing what it can to be sustainable long term.
Yeah, well, that's good news, and this is. I'm just glad you were able to come in and tell us a little bit about this, and certainly is heartening to talk about the pursuit of a stable funding model. Certainly is heartening to hear about that the programs, every 2 or 3 years that you can collect up your stuff and bring it in. Looking, and it's nice to think, you know, how great it is to think of how you could expand this program to include other products like that. That's a good news, you know. It's always been funny on living in the municipalities, and they do have household hazardous waste, and things are getting better all the time. That's kind of wandering off thinking about farm tires, for instance. Yeah. Boy, one time there's no place to go, and then last time I had a farm tire replaced, they took all my old ones. Mm-hmm. But now that's slightly changed in the last 6 months because of the government should try to get some cost recovery on those things. But boy, one time, it's nice when the system catches up with the kind of unique one-of type things that farms have like that. That's good news. So
yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think to have a win-win model, you need to have industry supporting their products throughout their life cycle, through the, you know, through the ultimate disposal or recycling of their products. And ultimately, I think, you know, a strong sustainable model is where the manufacturers of those type of products take responsibility for them.
Good point. So what do you do for fun when you're not busy listening to Johnny Cash and running around doing...
Gosh, I'm a sports guy. I play a lot of soccer in the summer and hockey. And I just got married in May.
Well, congratulations
to my beautiful bride. So we're planning some traveling this winter. So it's a lot of research right now, but I'm hoping it's somewhere warm.
Yeah, I just got back from a trip to Iceland last week. That was quite an amazing climate out there. I tell you, that's a great place to go. If it gets too cold, you just jump in a hot puddle someplace.
I've heard that that's a very unique place to go.
It sure is. So, and you're off to Hixson today. And just one last bit to our listener. We'll go out with another Johnny Cash song because we're just going to Johnny Cash things to death here. It's Folsom Prison Blues. I think that'll be a good one to play out on, don't you think?
Absolutely. That is classic Johnny Cash.
Then you're off to Hixson now. And listeners, I don't want to forget, too. I got a little thing I want to do here. we won't just hang up the dial yet. The station here is having a food drive. It's part of a food drive now, and 100.3 Sound FM food drive, October 1st to October 18th. And a little note on my desk here says that come on out on Halloween night, Thursday, October 31st. Station is open to the community. Come up and see what we got going up here in our little humble studios on 108 King Street North. And, it's pretty real. Hopefully you all noticed we just had a little fire. Saw a siren go past the doors here about 15 minutes ago, but that's the beauty of community radio. It's pretty real stuff. So glad you're able to come out today, Russ, and good luck with this program. Hope you have great success and further fine-tune the process. And with that, I'll thank you very much for coming on board today.
Thanks, Jeff. It's been a real pleasure.
All right, and you live to listen to this on podcasts. Yours truly will try to get that updated and uploaded imminently, and we'll see you all next week. This has been episode number 65 on your best community radio station, 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio. We'll play with some Johnny Cash, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antonio. Well, when I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Get up! That railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle